All right, we're talking about the good news tonight, the message of Christ. And I felt like it's good to just kind of go back to some beginnings. Amen? Talk about Jesus. Talk about the gospel. The gospel means good news. And while you're turning to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, what is the good news? The good news is we don't have to be... let me just know this. We live in a pretty hostile environment, right? There's all kinds of junk going on. There's all kinds of wars, sickness, disease, all that other stuff. Now, God never said we'd be completely delivered from everything, but there is a way out. We do have peace. But the most important thing is we can have spiritual deliverance. We also have, we'll talk more about the deliverance, but we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and we'll get more into the gospel, which is the good news, and it is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God. So the gospel is the power. It is the power of God to salvation. The good news. Paul told the people at Corinth that it's the foolish things, the foolishness of preaching the gospel that's power. So again, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, and go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I always like to think of it this way. You can take what we call the good news or gospel and replace it with the good news. So when you see the gospel, you can always put good news in, right? Because that's what it means. So if you see here, I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ. It kind of puts something interesting revelation on it. I am not ashamed of what? The good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes. What did Jesus go and do? Well, we see there in Luke and also in Matthew and all through the Gospels and everything, he preached the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin are death, sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news, right? Because sin is just simply separation from God. This is interesting here. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. We're going through some scriptures tonight. This is a very interesting portion of scripture. Now, Jesus' ministry hadn't really taken off yet, and this is where Jesus in Luke chapter 4 really proclaims in the synagogue the start of his ministry and reveals to people who he is. And so Luke chapter 4 verse 14 through 28, and this is the New Living Translation, then it says here, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Now, right before this, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, whose mother was Elizabeth. And he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, which was his cousin, and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Then from there, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit came upon him. Then from there, we see right here, the next thing he does, he ends up in a synagogue. And it says here, which we would call probably today church. And again, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Here we go. He taught regularly in the synagogues. Here we go. And was praised by everyone. Everybody liked Jesus at the time. Everybody thought he was good. Now, so let's just pause here for a moment. Religious people and worldly people are going to love you when you're preaching things and saying things that they agree with, right? Always going to love you. Always going to think you're wonderful. Always going to. We're going to see the element that stirs up the hornet's nest, and it always stirs up the hornet's nest here, right? Because before this, Jesus was just a carpenter. He was just the son of Joseph and the son of Joseph and Mary, right? Well, Joseph was his stepdad. But he was just in the community, just a good old carpenter boy. You know, he was Joe and Mary's boy. Everybody else knew him. And then it's verse 16. When he came to the village of Nazareth, here we go, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read the scriptures. So Jesus had a habit of going to church. He was there. He knew it. Nazareth, that's where he grew up, right? So he's in the synagogue, and he's reading things, and then he says, he opens up the scrolls there and begins to read. He stood up and started reading the scriptures. Verse 17, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Verse 18, here we go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Uh-oh, those are dangerous words to the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. You start getting the Holy Spirit on things, and then people get... For he has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor. What's good news? The gospel, right? Good news to the poor. What is the good news? He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. What are captives? Captives are people who are bound by sins, bound by addiction, bound by oppression, sick, having diseases, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. I want to be set free, don't you? Right? We got some little people in here, you know, when you're playing games and stuff. You ever play a game where you get out and you have to, like, what's that, dodgeball? You know, you have to play dodgeball and you get out. And then there's some rules you can get back into the game, right? So sometimes you catch the ball, get the other person out, and sometimes you can pull somebody else back in. And when I was a kid, all right, this is kind of silly, but I always liked to play sport. I always liked to get out. I mean, my favorite class was PE, right? I mean, who doesn't like PE? He was like gym. You like recess, lunch? I mean, those are the important classes, right? Come on, you know, parents were looking at me like, shut up. But as a kid, that's what I liked. I liked gym. I liked recess. I liked lunch. And, you know, all the kind of fun classes and stuff. Well, you get into gym and you do things, and the worst thing is to get out and you have to sit on the side. As a kid in elementary school, that's torture. I mean, that's horrible. You know, I'd rather have my fingernails pulled out with pliers and have to sit on the side and not move. I was that kid. I had to always be doing something. But you know what? It's so good to be set free, isn't it? That feeling when you get back in the game, and you're active again, or you're back in the kickball game, or you're back in whatever. You know, when I played sports and stuff, love, you know, it was my turn to bat. It's like, yeah, my turn to bat. And then, you know, all game, I remember, you sit there for how many innings and you didn't get a ball hit to you. You know, like, okay, this is boring. But you want to be engaged. You don't want to be set free. You want to be able to do something. You want to have freedom. And then Jesus came and he says, hey, I came to set the captives free. I came to release you from kickball jail, right? For the kids in here. And then he goes on here and he says, and that the oppressed will be free and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Now, they're just looking at him like, okay, that's interesting. He read parts of Isaiah. But here's the kicker. Then he began, verse 21, then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. What is he saying? He's saying he's declaring his ministry. And he's saying, these are the things that Isaiah is prophesying that's going to happen. And guess what? I'm the one that's going to fulfill this stuff, and I'm going to set people free. Oh boy, we're going to see here. Verse 22, everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They said, isn't this Joseph's son? So, you know, there's what we call the sin of familiarity. Have you ever heard of that before? What that is, you know what? Sometimes we can have sin of familiarity with people in our house, our relatives, right? Our friends, maybe the people we work with. Why? Because we're used to them. We're familiar with them. What is the sin of familiarity? It's taking people for granted. Not appreciating them. What are they saying? This is Joe's boy. What's he talking about? Like, he's going to redeem people? I mean, this guy's crazy, right? Wait a minute, this is Joe. I mean, his kid's in
I mean, he played with my kids. I mean, they all played soccer together on the same team. This is Jesus guy, and he's going to set us all free. You know? They played hockey together. They're what is it? It's a sin of familiarity. They're bringing this down and saying, who can this Jesus actually say he's going to deliver people? Then verse 23, then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. What did he read their mail. He's like, yeah, you don't appreciate me because prophets aren't appreciated in their own hometown. And that probably doesn't go really good, does it? It's kind of like somebody behind the scenes saying something and you call them out and say, I know you don't like me. I know you don't appreciate me. I know what you've said, but I know what you're thinking about me. Oh, that didn't help out very much, did it? And Jesus probably isn't really concerned about these things. Verse 25, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's times when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And many in Israel had leprosy in the times of the prophet Elisha. But the only one he healed was Naaman, a Syrian. Here we go, verse 28. When they had heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. And they intended to push him over the cliff. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. And I want to stop here for a moment because when we read this, this just seems like they grabbed him and then he walked through them. Now I want to stop here a minute and just think about these things. First of all, if you have a crowd of people, a synagogue full of people, they all mob you, they grab you, and they're going to throw you off the cliff, guess where you're going? Over the cliff. Did you really think about this? This is actually supernatural. Because when you have a crowd of people, and they grab you, and they're throwing you off a cliff, and all of a sudden the scripture says, you just walk right through them. I have no idea what happened, but I've got some speculation, don't you? And this is kind of a side topic. How many times we've read in the Bible these things and we skim over it and we don't know the supernatural, miraculous things that happen, right? Because there are other times in the Bible when you read things about Jesus, he was translated. He's in one spot and all of a sudden he was like, and then he was on the shore. Wait a minute, how do you go from here and then instantly you're on the shore? I mean, Jesus did a lot more than just walk on water. And there's a lot of hidden nuggets like this that are in the Bible that God is doing supernatural things and we don't pick up on it. Am I boring you tonight or what? So somehow, whether these people were frozen in time and Jesus walked through, or I don't know what happened, there's all kinds of speculative things, but there's a crowd of people that grab Jesus. They're going to throw him off the cliff, and somehow he just walks right through them. Remember the riots? All the riots right before COVID? All that stuff, you know? You know, when you get a mob mentality, you got a bunch of people, they're just kind of, they all lose kind of common sense, don't they? You know? That's why they call it the mob mentality, you know? Hey guys, we're going to go burn a building down. Hey, you wouldn't think about going burning a building down by yourself, would you? Try to stop a crazy mob. You ever think about that? I was in Africa and I had guys, I was in Kenya and I remember at night, these Muslims were trying to break in my door. You know what? There's like about three of them. They were beating on my door and everything else, trying to get in to where I was at. And I was praying and just, I had one of the experiences at that time. They just left because I was just praying, Lord, I pray them. And I just prayed and then they just stopped instantly and left. But there are supernatural things like this throughout the Bible. Just be aware of those things when you're reading those things and think about it.
had a mob. He's grabbing him. And all of a sudden, he just walks right through him. I don't know what happened. Again, your guess is just about as good as mine, but something happened where an angry crowd got a hold of him. They were going to kill him. And all of a sudden, he just walks right through him. First of all, talking about the good news, there's anointing to it. What's that mean? That means anointing is something that God puts his stamp on. There's a presence, an anointing. There's something that God backs when he anoints something. He is backing it. And Jesus, he the Father anointed Jesus or backed him when he went, wherever he went. And so, first of all, the world and religious people don't like the anointing. They don't like the good news. There's a lot of reasons why. That means, first of all, number one, that means they're out of control. That means they're not in control. The world likes to be in control. Religious people like to be in control. Following the Lord or obeying the Lord or seeking or walking after the good news means you are now submitting yourself to God, right? Because Jesus said, everything I do and say is what the Father told me to do and say. Jesus was the most committed person because wherever the Father, the Holy Spirit led him to go, he went. You see in scriptures, it says, and the Spirit led him, and the Spirit led him, and the Spirit led him. Pride in the world is all about doing what I want to do, right? It's all about me. Pride. It's kind of a funny term right now, isn't it? Yeah. Because it's all about doing what I want to do, what I want to do. And that's the downfall. That's the biggest sin is pride because you're taking, that's the ultimate slap on God's face is to say, well, you know, I'm going to do things my way. Well, we know that God knows better than we do. We're seeing the scriptures that's obviously true. The anointing will stir up the flesh and it rubs against your pride. The anointing. God, the good news to deliver people is all about we're not in control. God did this for us and there's nothing we can do to make ourselves any better. And what is the world system? All the self-help books. You know what? If you could help yourself, why would you need the self-help book, right? That doesn't make any sense. I'm going to help myself. Well, maybe to a buffet, but not anything else, right? Self-help, it just doesn't exist. We can't self-help ourselves. So religious folks, they do not like their apple cart overturned. And so what happens is we see here the good news, it will stir up things in people. And what does it do? It makes people angry. The religious folks, it makes them angry because the attention is taken away from them, right? Their program is now upset. Their program is now destroyed. That's why they hated Jesus so much was because they had their ministry, they had their program, and Jesus is showing up and wrecking everything. And you know what? We need some things wrecked in our lives, right? We need God to just come in and wreck some things, mess some things up, have his way, and reveal some things to us. I remember, because it's very paramount, because it's very interesting, because anytime you're going to go after the gospel, or you're going to the good news, you're going to pursue the good news, you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have those people that are going to raise their ugly heads against you. I remember when I, you know, stopped traveling and being in bands and everything, And all of a sudden, it was like when I decided, okay, I'm going to commit myself to Christ and everything. Man, I had people calling me all the time. Hey, you want to do this? You want to do this? You want to do this? You know, pursuing Christ and pursuing the good news is not always an easy task, is it? I always like to say, people, once you get saved and you decide to, you know, show up, you get old girlfriends and old boyfriends calling you. Right? Everybody wants you to go out partying. Everybody wants you to do this. Why? Because the devil wants to get you off track and get you away from the good news, which is deliverance, which is freedom, which is joy, which is peace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. While you're turning there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ever heard of the Creation Museum? You know, the Ark Encounter there in Kentucky?
And so then there's the Creation Museum. But I thought it was very interesting talking about, you know, creationism and people coming against that, and they don't like that about God and how, you know, God created the earth, the heavens and the earth. And it's all pride. Doesn't mean that because you're a Christian, you shut your brain off. We know that, right? I'm all for education. I have education, secular and, you know, Bible school as well. So we're not against that. We're not against you using your brain and thinking. And, you know, there's definitely some good things about education. But what happens is when it supersedes or tries to supersede Christ, then that's a problem. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing." How many people are out there trying to save themselves? How many religions? Christianity is the only faith. Again, Judaism, but then later, you know, Hebrew Judaism, and then it later developed into Christianity with Christ being Messiah, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. But how many other religions out there are all about you doing, you know, you trying to have your own salvation, right? I remember just back in the, I always get freaked out watching the, like in the early 2000s and, you know, when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan and, you know, they'd have, you know, it was always the big terrorists and you know, doing this, and they're all Muslims and stuff. A lot of the terrorist groups are, well, we call them terrorists, but or government and stuff. But anyway, you know, they'd interview him and say, well, you know, if Allah be willing, I'm going to kill myself. I'm like, you know, I think I'd rather be sure before I did that. You know, that's kind of a big deal where, you know, kind of you make that decision and you jump, there's no coming back, right? You know, I mean, you pull the pin on that that grenade, or, you know, you got TNT and you, you know, push the buttons. It's kind of like, you know, you do the EID and you're in the car and you blow it up. It's kind of like, oops, I made a mistake. That's kind of a big one. You know what I'm saying? But see, they're trying to. But see, the whole thing is they're not sure, especially the Muslims, they're not sure what mood God's in today. And my Bible says that God is love. That Jesus came for the good news. Not, I hope God's in a good mood today, and I think this is his will, but I'm not sure. And it's, you know, some of these religions, God's kind of moody. You know, they never know what kind of mood he's in today, and I'm not sure if this is going to please him or not. I'm not killing myself if I don't know for sure, right? And God's not asking us to go kill ourselves. We're not saying that. What we're saying is the Bible is very specific that Jesus, here we go, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Here we go. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Guess what? This rubs so many people the wrong way. It's a liberating scripture, right? Because then what it says is, you know, it's not because of anything that I do that I'm making myself. And what he's saying also, the Apostle Paul is telling the people at Ephesus, he's saying, first of all, you didn't save yourself when you accept Christ. Number two, you're not going to get any glory for this because it's only God, what he's done and what Jesus has done on the cross. Because it's not any, so it's not any works you've done that you've been saved, right? I've killed myself, or I've martyred myself, or I've done this, or I've done that. Now, there is martyrdom the Bible talks about, but that's for the gospel's sake. That's preaching the gospel. That's in your places, and they don't accept you, and there's martyrdom, and Bible talks about that. Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the hall of faith. Many people lost their lives. Read that chapter. But he's saying the good news is I came, I delivered you, I saved you, and it's not because of works, it's because of what I've done, but you're not going to be able to brag about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Are you guys bored tonight or what? Am I boring you? Guys, take your two fingers right here. Is there a pulse? Check on yourself. Dum, 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 dum. There we go. I'm kidding. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Amplified. So we got time. I'll read out the Amplified tonight. All right, that's okay. This is the ladies' version, the Amplified. Wordy. I'm kidding. I'm going to get stoned here in a minute, right? Amplified. I'm just joking because it's very abbreviated. I'm sorry, very extended a lot. But it says, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge concerning this. Knowledge alone makes, here we go, people self-righteously arrogant. But love that unselfishly seeks the best of others builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. Who else has a different translation? That's a, what do you have, Adrian? 1 Corinthians 8, yeah. 1. Would you read
just,
that?
Just in 1.
Just,
I have the yeah. message here, so
okay.
It kind of flows into
yeah.
different. But the question keeps coming up regarding meat that has been offered up to an idol. Should you attend meals where such meat is served or not? We sometimes tend to think we know all we need to know to answer these kind of questions, but sometimes our humble hearts can help us more than our proud minds. We never really know enough until we recognize that God alone knows it all.
Awesome. I want to read it out of the King James here really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. There's one place I want to, and it says, now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Here we go. But knowledge puffs up, but love or charity edifies. So knowledge can puff up, right? Have you ever been in anybody, you have any kind of college whatsoever, or any kind of learning, or any kind of secondary education at all, you know that there are people that have some knowledge and they're puffed up. Right? I was in a business class here one time, and my professor was talking about something, and everything sounds great on paper, you know? I was this stuff, but being in the financial world and everything too for years and talking about different things, and I'd be like, that doesn't quite work. It sounds great in theory. You know, a lot of these people, they're proud and everything. It's not like, hey, so-and-so. It's like, oh, I need, you know, I've earned this, this title. You need to address me in this title. There's a pride there with this knowledge and this information, and it's I know things and I'm important and I have deep value and I know more than you, and it can definitely puff up, right? Look, kind of a little sidetrack here. Remember the COVID-19 years and everything, and right, we were going to that last presidential election and everything. You ever see these things pop up? You ever know, like, all the whole COVID thing? You notice how all of the news networks would pull people, you know, like doctors that said the same thing that they agreed with, you know, or that their paid sponsors, you know, product, you know. But then I like this too. I always like, here's a term you never heard like 5 or 6 years ago, fact checkers, right? You ever hear that too? You know, the whole fact checker thing, right? You know, all of a sudden there's these mysterious people out there that are fact checkers, and you know, you need to just listen to what they have to say. You don't question anything, but they're fact checkers. We don't know where they're from. We don't know, you know, any kind of background, but they're fact checkers, right? And what they're saying is, you know what, we know more than you. So you don't need to think for yourself anymore, because we got fact checkers that are somehow over here that nobody's seen at all. And what is that? That's a form of we know more than you. We've got this down, and you just need to listen to us, right? Well, that puffs up, right? And they all these little cliche and these all little manipulative terms and languages. And what is that? That's the world system are trying to say, you don't know what you're talking about, right? Because we've fact-checked this, really, based on who, from where, what source, yeah. Right? Stop, you know, let me just say this. I mean,
I am completely for the gospel and everything, and I always say this to you. You can definitely walk out of here, not believe a word I say, but you're going to have to be responsible to God. You're going to answer to Him alone. You never come and manipulate people to do anything, right? Jesus never did that at all. You know, the really cool thing about Jesus was He's like, hey, follow me. There's somebody, you know, we see in the Gospels where there'll be people, the rich young ruler, you know. He came and he said, okay, well, give everything you have and follow me. And he was sad because he had many riches. Well, Jesus didn't go, you know what? I fact-checked everything. You're wrong. You got to follow me. You need to do it right. He's like, the great thing is God's not manipulative and He's not overbearing. And it says it is the Holy Spirit. We see in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all of these wonderful traits. God is pulling us. He's bringing the good news, saying, you've been delivered. I love you. I'm here to help you. I want to heal you. I want to set you emotionally intact. I want your life to be healed. The world system is all about, what can I get from you? How can I manipulate you and get you to think like me? And so, 1 Corinthians there, gospel of Christ is liberating, but it has many enemies. The enemy hates the message because it's liberating. The cool thing about the gospel is it doesn't place our faith in a government. It doesn't place our faith in an institution. It doesn't place our faith in a company. It doesn't any particular person, group, or anything else. It places our dependence on Him. Governments don't like that, right? A lot of communism, a lot of these where they want to get rid of religion. Why? Because what happens is the dependence isn't on them, it's on someone else. And that person is Jesus. And that gospel is liberating. Do you realize how many patents we have here in the United States often, especially when we were a Christian nation, how much creativity that we have? Because anytime that you get the gospel and freedom and these things, then we're going to see, God can give us witty inventions the Bible talks about, and there's things that God can reveal to people that are not confined to a set of the worldly ideals, systems, you know, philosophies, that there is freedom. Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to wrap up here in a few minutes. Gospel focuses on goodness and blessings that you don't deserve. Yeah, you're right, you don't deserve it. But He still loves you anyway. It's really cool because I think we'll get to heaven, there'll be no churches, because we'll all just be one church, right? There's just one throne, there's one Jesus, there's one Father, there's one Holy Ghost, three in one. It's going to be fantastic. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I love to say this. I know the plans I have for you, they are of good news. They are gospel. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world," but here we go, "but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, the world system always focuses on something wrong with everything. I used to have a relative, okay? He is, I believe, he's with Jesus now, years ago. But, you know, he used to go to church, or went to church and stuff, and, you know, but, I mean, every time you talk to him or listen to him, he just, you know, that preacher's going to hell, that person's going to hell, that person's going, everything was negative. This person's going to hell, that person's going to hell, this person's awful, that person's terrible, this person's terrible. And God believes the best in us. That's what the good news is, right? Now, God's not fooled to say, oh, they're not perfect? I thought they were perfect. God knows we're not perfect. But he gives us a way out and redeems us. John chapter 15, verse 19. John chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. You ever notice how the world system and the world's ideas and all the perversion and everything, they just, you know, you come out and you say something, I believe in this and I just, you know, love perversion and I love this. Oh, you're just wonderful. Oh, you're just wonderful. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. There are some people that, you know, in the past, it just doesn't matter. They don't like me. And you know, you're going to have people who don't like you either if you stand up for the truth. But we serve one person, and that's Jesus, right? He's the one that has delivered us. You know what? I'm not going to stand up in front of these people that, again, you're not going to stand in front of people on Judgment Day. You're going to stand in front of one person, and that's going to be Jesus. And you're going to have to answer to him. And people are like, well, and we've had people come against us before, you know, well, you're just not very sensitive to these things. Well, I'm not going out bashing people. I got better things to do with my life than go around and picking people up. I don't have anything. But you know what? You know, we used to have go visit family or do things, and it was like, you know, Sunday we'd be out of town or something, and we'd go to church because I love God, and I just want to be in church, right? Well, listen to the preaching. I want to hear music. I want to worship God. You know, everybody would stay home or you know, whatever. We always put God first. I remember, you know, they'd always try to get us to do things or, you know, hey, this weekend we're all doing this, and they'd be out doing things, always skipping church, and they just stopped asking because they know we are committed to this. We want to go to church. We want to be in church every time the door is open. We just wanted to be there all the time, you know? Oh, they're just so weird. But you know what happens? Who they call when things, the chips are down, right? Would you guys pray for us? Well, where were we at last year? I mean, I'm sorry. Hey, we pray for people every day. It's in church. Every Sunday. Now we have Saturday night. Every time the doors open, you know, you're praying. Guess what? People pray in church. And you're not there. I mean, think about that. If you had people that only came to you anytime they wanted something, how would that make you feel? Right? And God's a big God. I mean, he's not. But can you imagine what he feels like every time? It's like, oh, okay. Oh, they got a problem now. They're coming to me. Oh, they got a problem. They're coming to me. Guess what? The good news is I'm free. I'm redeemed. But you know what? When Christ did that at the cross, shed his blood, paid for my sins, I'm delivered. I don't have to die and go to hell, be eternally separated from him. I want to worship him. I want to connect with him. I want to have a relationship with him. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. I just remember, you know, while you're turning there. So, God, you know, the Lord brought me so much peace. I remember just being in bars and playing and traveling and doing things. And, you know, when you're in a bar, and it's such a volatile environment. You know, I just remember, of course, there was some of my bandmates and people were chemically inhibited about half the time. So, you know, when you've got people that are having on chemical
about half the time, you kind of get paranoid, right? You just never know what's going to happen. Always crazy stuff happening, or, you know, oh, what kind of substance are we going to have at practice? We're going to have the... You just never know what kind of a mood they're in or what's going to happen at that time. Is there going to be a fight? You know, just crazy stuff happen. You know, when I'm with Jesus, I live in, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to deal with that garbage anymore. You know, I have peace. Because when you're in those environments, you're around people that, first of all, they're giving themselves to the enemy. They're opening themselves up spiritually. Why do you think they call it wine and spirits? Because you're opening yourself up to things. People are like, well, I believe that we can drink alcohol if we want to. Well, great, because I don't know anything that's ever good happened when I was drinking. Or, you know, oh, it was really awesome, man. We got all loaded, and then we went out and did Habitat for Humanity, and we just blessed people. We were so drunk, and we just got all, you know, right? We got smoking marijuana, and it was really great, and we went out and fed the homeless. Those stories don't happen. Nothing like that happens. I mean, you know, like I said before, anytime that you have a story go, well, we're all drinking, we're all sitting around doing drugs, okay, that's not going to be a good story, right? There's no happy ending with that. But Jesus set us free. And all I'm saying is this, when you have Jesus and you have the gospel, you can go to sleep at night and have peace. And you can, when you're around other people who are born again, who love God just like you do, guess what? You don't have to be paranoid about things. And I've been around people that have been, they are just, I've had family members, I've had friends and acquaintances and everything, and you talk about the most paranoid people in the world. Why? Because they're of the world system. They haven't experienced the gospel. They haven't experienced the good news ever. All they see is what's around them. They don't see in the spirit realm. 1 John 2:15-16 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy, you know, different things. We were just at a friend of ours' house, and he had a really cool 1969 Barracuda, and I was like, ooh, that's, you know. Had the garage door open, and I was like, hey, Steve, just kind of snooping in the garage here. Sorry about that. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy nice things. I love cars. I love going to the good guy's car show all the time and, you know, look at all the cars. And right? We can enjoy those things. And we're not saying that. But what it means is the world system, right? Don't fall in love with the world system. It doesn't mean we don't enjoy things. God put things here for us to enjoy, right? It's okay to enjoy food. It's okay. But when it becomes a god to you, and you place it above the Lord, then there's problems, right? But what he's saying here is this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Stop here for a moment. And what John is talking about here is, first of all, the three, main areas the devil's going to tempt you. And what are these three areas? It's the same three areas that he tempted Christ in the wilderness. It's the same pattern. It's number one, the desires of the flesh. We can say lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three things in the Garden of Eden that Jesus was tempted with, right? Those three things. And John outlines it right here. 1 John. So when we're all, only thing that we're looking at is carnal, it's going to be gone someday. If you live long enough, you're going to see, first of all, more and more people die. It's just the way it is, right? I hate to say it, but we're going to end up, we're not, all of us, some point, if Jesus doesn't come back in the rapture at some point, we're all going to step over on the other side. And then we're going to decide how we lived our life will be judged. The Bible talks about there'll be a judgment. And then we'll go from there. So if we've accepted Christ, good. Live for him. If not, it's not going to be a good day. And again, I want to read Romans 12:2. This is a New Living Translation. Again, it says, don't copy the behavior
and customs in this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Guess what? I don't think the way I used to 20, 30 years ago. Well, I'm only 22, so I guess that those numbers don't know. I'm kidding. But I don't think, I don't talk like I used to. I don't think like I used to. I don't have the same values, right? Every molecule in my body is completely different. I'm not even the same physical, you know, what is it? Every 7 years, you know, your body is regenerated and you don't even have the same cells anymore. So I'm not even physically the same person anymore. But then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I had my plan. Was it Frank Sinatra's song? I did it my way. A lot of people are like that. You're like, Frank Hill? None of these people in here. But that's the world system, is about their agenda. But the good news is God has said, I've delivered you from all of that. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to be in strife. You don't have to deal with these things anymore. I have redeemed you, but it's not because of what you've done, but because of what I've done at the cross and shed my blood and took the stripes and died. And I've redeemed you. You needed a way out. You needed a Savior. Because if you think about it, it's depressing to know that, okay, I'm going to live, you know, however many years, and then I'm going to die, and that's it. Right? I'm like a frog or a moth. I'm going to die, and that's everything. That's all life exists. How depressing is that? How much hopelessness do you have? I mean, there is no hope to know that I'm going to die. You know, there's people who believe it, and there's nothing else beyond this life. Guys, this is a beginning of amazing things we haven't even seen yet on the other side with God. Romans 10:9, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not hard. It's real easy. I always like to think of the Bible, it doesn't matter what kind of intellect you are, you know, people who have, you know, very limited cognitive ability, you know, the Bible is simple. You can accept Jesus, or it's in depth as you want to get with him. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, here we go, the Son of God was manifest, here we go, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That is the good news of the gospel, that the works of the devil are destroyed. Now, is he still going around doing things? Yes. Is he still turning up trouble? Yes. But ultimately, we have authority over the devil if we are born again. And that's the good news. I want to read this scripture again. He that commits sins of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. What? That he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm telling you today, the good news is the works of the devil are destroyed. They are defeated. Finally, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Here we go. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We get it all down. A lot of people have a problem with this, but the Bible is this. Guess what? Bad things come from the devil. I know this is really hard. It's hard to imagine. And good things come from God. The devil does bad things, and God does good things. Got my insurance licenses and everything, and to have things like, you know, acts of God, you know, if like something happens, like your tornado comes and hits your house or whatever, and then insurance, they refer to that as an act of God. God's not out, you know, God's not like, let's see here. I think it'd be really cute if I destroy their house. They're going to be homeless for like, you know, 6 months to a year. They have to live in one little room together. That would be great. And then they have to waste all their time, all this money, and then it's really frustrating. And then we've got to drive their kids here and blah, 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 blah. Let's go ahead and mess with them. That's not God at all. Come on, give me a break, right? It's not an act of God. I mean, think about it. When when Jesus was in the boat and the storm came up and the disciples were flipping out, and then they wake up, Jesus said, we're going to die. And then he gets up and he rebukes the storm and the storm stops. God's not schizophrenic. He's not, you know, like creating the storm and then he's stopping the storm and all this other stuff. It's ridiculous. That's from the devil. John 10:10. Let's turn there. One more scripture here. We'll close it up. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean, are you awake with me? All right, we're good. We're good. John 10:10 says what? The thief comes not but to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. What is a storm? It is to destroy and to kill and to steal. That's the definition of the devil, the thief, isn't it? Then we go on, we find out what Jesus is, and he says, Jesus speaking here, I'll actually start from the beginning again. The thief comes not but to steal. Well, you know, it's God's will that you're sick. Right, you're right. You want to be out of work, lose your job, cost you money, have to go to the doctor, spend money on doctor bill. Yeah, that sounds real cute and fun, doesn't it? That sounds like, no, it's not a God thing. And to kill. Been around people before, and I've had people before. Well, you know what? I don't stop serving God because I had a relative, he died, and the preacher said it just must be God's will for him to die. No. God's not in heaven killing people. All right? It's just not in his, it's not his deal. And to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. And Jesus is saying, he's separating himself. We see this scripture, Acts 10:10. I'm sorry, John 10:10, excuse me, and Acts 10:38. They're both great scriptures that Jesus delineates. He says, okay, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that not only have life, but you have it more abundantly. What is he saying? I want to make sure you have a life, but not just that, an awesome life. Amen. And too many Christians and too many people are, they don't understand the revelation of the good news. The good news is not to beg and borrow and squall and bawl, but Jesus said, man, you got to have life. I came that you may have life and have a great life. Well, that first of all means I'm healthy. My relationships are healthy. Right? And let's just say this. Sometimes people, they're just not, you know, you're going to do the best you can with relationships. Everybody has a will. But you can still believe it. And be blessed. Acts 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and we go, and what? They follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What is Jesus saying? He's saying this, hey, if you follow me, I'm never going to let you go. I'm always going to be there for you. You don't have to worry about anybody taking you from me or anything else. If you love me and you follow me, I'm going to speak to you, you're going to know my voice, and I'm going to take care of you. I think it's better than that, does it? Father, we thank you so much tonight. Jesus, I thank you for these precious people, Lord. We pray for the other people that are gone tonight, Lord, that God, that they have a revelation. Not only people here, but people in our church, Lord God, they would have a revelation of the good news. Amen? The good news that delivers us, that we can walk in confidence tonight. I just want to, as we're closing here too, you know, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior tonight, or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's real easy. And I just want everybody, we just want to pray together tonight if you've never made that decision. And I just want everybody to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for me. And Father, thank you for sending your Son to redeem me. And I thank you. And I believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God. And Father, I believe that you raised him from the dead. I call you Lord. I call you Master.
Come and live in me
and redeem me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everybody have a great week. Praise God. And we will see you next Saturday. Amen.